New life. Our liturgy today echoes the story of creation and God's plan of salvation. Just as we started outside in the dark, in the cold, in the formlessness, God then brought light and order and life. And in his creation, he created the human person, which was the crown of creation, made in his image and likeness. What does that mean, to be made in the image and likeness of God? It means that we are made, just as God is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you and I are made for communion, for relationship. And we have intellect and will, that you and I, we can know things. We're different than the other creatures. We can think about thinking. And we can also choose. We can choose, even when we're hungry, not to eat. But what do we know? We were created first for relationship. We feel that. Students, when you went on the retreat, that perhaps you felt more connected to God. And it felt good. And there was an activity on the retreat where you were reminded of the care and concern that your family and friends have for you. And it felt good, didn't it? Because it reminds us that we were made for connection. Think about that time that, you know, you stayed up late with your roommates or your friends, late into the night, laughing, playing, and it was like a moment that you never wanted to end. You think about the closeness you feel with maybe someone in your family or a dating relationship, and it just, you feel warm, and you're like, this feels awesome. That all of us were made for that connection. We feel it in moments. And our heart is full at that time, that you and I were created for relationship. But if we were created for relationship, then why does it hurt sometimes? And what we've experienced is a rupture. That while we were created for relationship, we're also broken. That even the place that we desire, our first place of relationship, our families, that they can also be the place of greatest goodness, but the place of greatest hurt and disappointment. That maybe we've been in a dating relationship and we went from feeling so good to feeling like our heart was ripped out, and we question whether we will ever love again. God made us for a relationship, not for that rupture. And yet sometimes that rupture, it reminds us that we were made for a relationship that will never end. That's not what God intended. God made us for that relationship, but original sin put us at odds with one another, with God, with ourselves, with creation. And because of original sin, that has been our experience our whole lives. We were born into a world of rupture. And so if we're unhappy at times, if we're anxious, depressed, it's understandable, because that's the world we were born into. And we see it around us on a bigger scale when you look at what's happening in Ukraine or in Gaza or in North Korea, or you name it. Or you look at our politics and our nation, and we feel this rupture, and don't we sometimes give in to discouragement, that we despair that it'll ever get better? All of that is an effect of original sin. And it reminds us this is not what we want, that we want communion, that there's been a rupture. And what's beautiful about our God is that he doesn't just create us and walk away, but that when he sees us suffering, that he chooses to draw near. That from the beginning, God has had a plan to redeem us. From the beginning, as soon as Adam and Eve fell, God announced that he would redeem us. He would do something even better than if we had never fallen. That our own hearts that have experienced rupture, God has allowed that. God didn't want that. He allowed that so that he can heal it and actually give us the capacity to love even more. That the answer to the world of brokenness was Jesus. God could have done anything. God could have done anything. You know, you think about, it might sound a little silly, but I mean, he could have come as like the Jolly Green Giant or something, you know? He could have been Stay Puffed, you know? Or like Thanos, you know? He could just show up and just like, you know, you're all still here, you know? So, but God didn't want to freak us out. God didn't want to scare us. He wanted to show us that he wants a relationship with us. So he came in a way that we could understand, a way that we could connect with, a person. That the second person of the Trinity for all eternity chose to come to be fully human, still remaining fully divine, but to come be fully human. And so Jesus comes. Here's this Jesus. And he looked and acted just like every other human, except he claimed to be God, which is kind of off-putting to some people, you know? Especially to the Jewish notion that there's one God. But here's the thing. There were prophets who foretold a Savior, that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies from years and centuries before him. That was different, that no other religious leader ever had prophecies about them. Secondly, no other religious leader ever claimed to be God. The only religious leader who's ever claimed to be God is Jesus Christ. And so that got people's attention. And people might say, well, no, Jesus said some really wise things and, you know, just kind of live this holy, compassionate life. So I want to imitate his life, but I don't want to follow him. He's not God. I was like, well, we can't really set aside what he claimed about himself. That he can't just be a nice person who then claims to be God, because if he's not God, well, then he's lying. Or maybe he claims to be God and he thinks he's God, but he's not. Well, there's a nice room up on top of the hill in the behavioral health unit at Flagstaff Medical Center that he could go to for people who think they're God. Or maybe he was God because he claimed to be God. He did things only God could do. He gave law. He forgave sins. He healed people who had been blind from birth, people who had been crippled from birth. He told things that then happened. He multiplied loaves and fishes. He walked on water. He raised multiple different people from the dead. He predicted his own death and resurrection. He died and then rose from the dead. He claimed to be God, and he backed it up. And that's a question that every one of us has to answer at some point. Who is Jesus? And the answer to that question changes everything. Like it changed the early church. That he didn't come and act crazy. He was compassionate. He sought the outcast. He sought to bring communion, to bring people together again. And the people around him, when they saw Jesus killed, they were scared because our leader has been killed. They're going to come after us next. And so they were hiding. But then something happened. They went from hiding in fear to going out and sharing the good news. And what happened was Jesus, the risen Jesus, came and they were able to touch him and talk to him, eat with him. That encounter with the living person of Jesus changed everything. That these scared people now went out. You know, some people say, you know, the church, well, maybe it was about power and about money. I was like, no, there was no money. Remember, for the first three centuries, it was illegal and it was a death sentence. And so these 12 people, they didn't just like get together and have a hippie party by the sea. They spread out and went to 12 different places throughout the world. Why? Because this encounter with Christ had changed them. that this was the answer we've been waiting for, that a light had come into the darkness, that we're not stuck in a permanent place of rupture, but that there's an option for redemption, that God has extended his hand and given us an option to respond, to receive that, and to receive the new life that only he can give. And so that leads us to the fourth. There's a relationship, there's been a rupture, Christ comes to redeem it, and we have the opportunity to respond as the early church did. That we can choose to receive this gift. Because the question is, I can't save myself. I'm not stronger than death. But we know someone who is. Matthew 16:14 says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Living for Christ is different. Maybe before Christ, there were times when we sought intimacy, maybe staying overnight with our boyfriend or girlfriend. But then we encounter in Christ that our hearts were made for a love that's not temporary and worries whether that person's going to be there in the morning. That maybe in the face of anxiety and suffering, we've turned to things like smoking weed. And Jesus says, "I want to be the permanent, I don't want you to simply dull your senses, but I invite you to step into the fullness of life. That I invite you to come to me with your pain and your suffering. That I can be with you in it. That I desire to redeem everything." That you who are seeking the sacraments today, you have likely, I believe, encountered Jesus. You've responded to his invitation. And maybe if you haven't fully, today is a new opportunity where we can say, "Jesus, I need your help. I want your strength. I want your peace. I'm tired of the rupture. I want communion." That this living Jesus is not just some guy 2,000 years ago, but is alive. That all the disciples from then till now that have not just responded to a book or a church. They've responded to a person. That the reason we're here today is because the person of Jesus Christ has come and invited us into that relationship. And if we haven't experienced that, we can respond even today, like, "Lord, I don't know if you exist, but I do desire more peace in my life. I give you permission to reveal yourself." That's what he wants to do. And he wants to not just redeem us at the end of our life, because he's the one who can save us from death, but he wants to redeem everything in our lives. And I'll give you an example. Yeah. My father passed away this past year on April 17th, and my father was not always a pleasant man to be around. He was ornery and irascible. And I spent the early years of my life avoiding him. I prayed for him, and I prayed for his relationship with my mom. But then he got Alzheimer's. And I thought to myself, well, there goes my hope. Because I was hoping for a change of heart. I was hoping for a softening of his heart, for peace, that something would be different. But then I thought, now it's too late. And along the way, I didn't realize that something in me had died until God reawoke it. I used to go down every Tuesday and visit my parents, and I would also help take care of my dad, help him eat, use the restroom, get to bed. And there was one Tuesday, maybe it was because there was a storm or something, there was one Tuesday I wasn't able to go down. And in the middle of the day, I'm just living my life, and all of a sudden, I felt a strange tug deep inside. And this tiny flicker of a flame popped up. And what I felt was, I miss being able to spend time with my dad today. I was like, I want to go see my dad. And I sat there and I was like, that was weird. And I was like, what was weird about it? And then I realized that was something I had never experienced in my whole life. That I had spent so much effort trying to get away that I'd never had a desire from within to draw close. I was able to be there the last weekend, the last moments of my dad's life. I was able to offer him his final sacraments. And I was holding his hand when he took his last breath. That I went from avoiding that hand to being grateful that I could hold it. That instead of choosing to give his life to Christ, Christ had given his divine life, the sacraments, to my dad as pure gift. That my dad didn't really know what was going on. My dad had become like a child. And all he could do is simply receive. And I saw in that, I was like, wait a minute, Scripture says that unless we become like children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I realized that God had actually worked this incredible mercy to give my dad healing, to be able to receive the grace of the sacraments, and that God had also given me healing, that he had given back my dad, that he had awakened my love and reconnected this relationship that I thought was forever gone. And I recognized, I saw how good and merciful God was, that my dad did the best he could. I think our dads, our moms, they're doing the best they can. We're all human. We're all affected by original sin. And God is so good that he can bring a greater good from any human relationship, any weak human relationship. And that God knew that, and God never gave up on my dad. Just as God has never given up on any one of us. And that he's the one who continues to extend his hand and say, it's not too late, that I can redeem and heal your heart as well, that I want to redeem the relationships in your life also. That going from death to new life, that if God can do that, he can bring new life from anything. And so God is inviting us, inviting me, inviting each one of us today to respond to this invitation, to let in his divine life and experience the transformation and new life he created us for.